for your anointing and your call upon me to minister your word. And we're going to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. My subject today is Jesus, our high priest. Jesus, our high priest. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that the Bible refers to Jesus in many different ways. Not just as high priest, but he's also known as our Savior. He's known as the Good Shepherd. He's known as the Chief Shepherd. He's known as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Hallelujah. And there are many more. We could go on and on and on. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. You hear me? I say we serve a great God. We serve a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. He's also known as Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Lily of the Valley. Brightest Morning Star. And we could just go on and on. But I want to talk about him today as our high priest. Glory to God. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Well, first of all, before you go to Hebrews chapter 4, go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And this is talking about Jesus here in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. It says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren. Let me stop right there just for a moment. Amen. Did you hear that? It says, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren. He wanted to become like us. That he, listen to this, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Hallelujah. In the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Jesus Christ is our heavenly high priest. But he took on a body just like ours. Amen. Because the only way he could deliver us was to become like us. Now, under the old covenant, there were priests. There was the Levitical priesthood. You had the priests, and mainly what the priests did, and I won't get into all that, but they sacrificed animals and so forth for the sins of the people. They was like a go-between, the people and God. And then, of course, not only did you have the regular priest, but you also had the high priest. And what the high priest would do once a year, he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would offer blood sacrifice, first of all, for himself, because you have to understand he was a man. All the priests were men. Amen. They had an earthly body. So because they were human beings, they were subject to error as well. Because, listen to this, because they were human beings, they were not perfect. As a matter of fact, they themselves needed a Savior. The priest needed a Savior. The high priest needed a Savior. Amen. But once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer a blood sacrifice for the sins of the people. But he had to first offer it for himself. And I don't want to try to get into too much detail this morning because I want to move on, but you didn't just go into the Holy of Holies just anyway. As a matter of fact, they had a type of rope type thing attached to the high priest that if he went into the Holy of Holies and messed up and died, because in the Holy of Holies you could die. Amen. And he had bells on. And those on the outside was always listening for the tingle. If everything got quiet, they knew he's gone. And they couldn't go in there to get him because they would die. So they had to pull him out. Amen. Because this man was in the holy place. The holy place. The holy of holies. To offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. So now this was the high priest. But you have to understand something. He was the earthly high priest. And if you read the book of Hebrews, it'll tell you all about it. But he went into the Holy of Holies once a year. Jesus is now our high priest. And we don't need him to come back once a year to sacrifice himself for our sins. Oh, glory to God. He don't have to do that. He did it once and for all. Amen. So now let me read verse 17 to you again, and then we'll move on. It says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Hallelujah. All right, and we'll stop right there. We'll probably come back to Hebrews chapter 2, but I want you to just flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. We as believers today have hope, or we should have hope. There should be nothing that overtakes us, or there shouldn't be anything that we face in life that would cause us to become hopeless. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We have our great high priest, Jesus Christ, in the heavenlies. He is in heaven. And listen at this. And I won't go into all that today either. But listen at this. I want you to get a hold of this. His blood. Now, let me stop right there just for a moment. Let's come back to earth for a minute. Let's go back before Christ. They would sprinkle the blood of animals on the earthly holy of holies for the sins of the people. Okay? Amen. But now Jesus Christ has ascended to heaven, and his blood has been sprinkled on the heavenly holy of holies. Because the earthly holy of holies was built after a pattern of the heavenly holy of holies. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Jesus' shed blood has been sprinkled on the heavenly holy of holies, and he is now our high priest. He is our go-between us and God the Father. Jesus Christ is our connection to God the Father. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, Jesus Christ is the only way that we could reach God the Father. No wonder Jesus said, where is John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. He is our high priest. He is our way to God the Father. He is the one that has caused us to be reunited once again with the Father. We are one in Christ. We are one with the Father. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus. I'm so glad that God is not looking at my sin. He's looking at Jesus. Hallelujah. He's looking at the finished work at Calvary. Hallelujah. He's looking at the sprinkled blood on the heavenly holy of holies. Glory to God. And guess what? It's sprinkled there for me and for you. Y'all still with me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now, you can hold your place there at Hebrews chapter 4. Just flip a page or two over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. And listen what it says. I'll begin reading at verse 22. It says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Everybody say better. Say it again, say better.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We are part of a better covenant. You hear me? We are part of a better covenant. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So let me read 22 again. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he because he continues forever, oh glory to God, has an unchangeable priesthood. You know, those old priests, they died. They died. But Jesus has an unchangeable priesthood. He is our high priest forevermore. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. And listen at this. Therefore, he is also able to save to the what? Say what? Oh, let me tell y'all something. I'm not just halfway saved. I'm not just a third of the way saved. I'm not even 99.9.99999% saved. I'm 100% born again. Because I am saved to the uttermost. How about you? Let me tell you something. If we were only saved 99.9999999999 and just keep on with the nines, that means that there would be a portion of us not covered by the blood. Thank God. I am completely covered by the blood of Jesus. My sins have been washed away by his blood 100%. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if y'all get excited about that, but that excites me. Hallelujah. Because there's nothing that the devil can come back with. He can't accuse God and say, yeah, but that 0.000 whatever it is, 9, the blood didn't cover that. I'm going to get him on that. It's not going to happen because we're saved to the uttermost. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let me go back to verse 25. I just got excited over that. And I'll try to finish reading the verse. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Notice what it says there. If you're saved to the uttermost, you come to God through him. If you're saved to the uttermost, you come to God through him. If you're saved to the uttermost, you come to God through him. Who is him? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, he is also, I might get through this verse before we finish. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives. Hallelujah. Since he always lives to do what? Do what? To make intercession for them, or should I say for us. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, ever lives to make intercession for you and me. He is our high priest in the presence of God the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So never forget that he is your high priest. And there's so much more I could say about that. But there's something else I want to cover with you here. I want you to see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4, please. And this is what I want you to understand. Those of you that are watching us, live streaming with us, grab a hold of this. I'm going to go back to verse 14 again, then we're going to move on down. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't give up on him. Listen to me. Don't give up on him. Priscilla, how that song go again? Waymaker, I'm trying to remember it. But what I can't see and what I don't feel, how that go? Say it louder so I can hear.
Even when I don't see him, he's working.
Okay, stop right there. Now, y'all probably can't hear her. She don't have a mic. But the song says, even when I don't see him, he's working.
Amen.
Even when I don't feel like it, he's working. What else, Priscilla?
He never stops.
He never stops. He never stops working.
Amen.
Even when I don't feel it, even when it doesn't look like it. But what does the Word of God say? It says, keep your confession. Keep talking the Word. Keep talking the Word of faith. Do you know by Jesus' stripes I were healed whether I feel like it or not?
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
1 Peter 2:24 is still there whether I feel like it or not, whether I look like it or not, it's still there.
Yes.
The promise is still there.
Yes.
And that's the reason we are people that walk by faith. And we keep our confessions of faith. What do you mean, confessions of faith? You say what he says about you. If God says you're a child of God, then don't call yourself a dog. Don't say things about yourself God doesn't say about you, or the Word of God doesn't say about you. You keep your confession in line with his Word. Because we do not walk by feelings. We do not live by feelings. Hallelujah. Because feelings can be deceptive. They can deceive you. You can ask the husband or wife, do you feel married? No matter how they feel, that don't change the fact that they're married. We've got to make sure that we don't lose hope. We've got to maintain our confession. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my healer. Jesus Christ is my deliverer. Jesus Christ is my provider. Jesus Christ leads me and guides me. Even I may not understand where I am right at this moment in time, I can't figure it out, but I'm trusting him to lead me and guide me. I'm trusting him to enlighten me that I can see where I should be going. It's called trusting God, folks. It's called trusting God in any and every situation. You trust God. You trust God. But you keep your eyes on Him. You keep your eyes on His word. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're told to hold fast our confession. Don't quit. Don't give up. You know, sometimes we never know what's coming down the pipe. I mean, we are living in a very fragile time right now. I mean, you know, still dealing with this coronavirus. There's an African dust storm, can't decide to leave Africa and come over here and visit America. Well, I probably came to stay because I don't think it's going back across the water, which I don't think it's done any damage. It's pretty mild. Anybody noticed the dust yesterday? Yeah. Yeah. It was dusty. But I mean, this bad news coming down the pipe. We're talking about locusts, murdering bees. Now, I'm not saying these things to upset you. No, our hope is in the Lord. But I'm saying out there in the world, some of the folks are beginning to reap some things they've sown. Remember I told you there's a biblical law of sowing and reaping? If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap what? Starts with the seed. Corruption. Amen. But if you sow to the Spirit, guess what you're going to reap? Things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Things of the Spirit. Glory to God. But we got to hold fast our confession. You don't believe everything they tell you on the news either. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is what I love. This is what I love. Because Jesus is our high priest, because He took on a body like ours. Verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot be sympathized." I believe the King James version say touched, right? Who got a King James? Is it touched? Am I right? Touched. We do not have a high priest who cannot touch or sympathize with our weakness. Oh, did y'all hear that? Jesus, our high priest, can sympathize with our weakness or our infirmities. Understand something. Jesus knows what it's like to live here, because He's lived here before. So we do not have a high priest who cannot be sympathized with our weakness. I'll move on, but let me say this. He understands the human experience. He understands what it's like to be a human being. Okay? He understands that. So, when you go to God, already know that He understands what you're talking about. That's the reason He is our high priest. Because he go to the Father and say, "Father, I understand. I shed my blood for that. I shed my blood so they can be free of that. Stripes were placed on my back so they can be healed of that." Amen. Are you still here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, but, listen at this, but was in all points tempted as we are. Think about that for a moment. Jesus Christ, while he was here on the earth, was tempted, tested, tried in all points, just like we are. I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. I think we talked about this in our last men's meeting, men's prayer, I should say. But I want you to see it again. I don't know how far we'll get before I quit, but I want you to see this. Let this minister to you. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Now, we just read in Hebrews 4 where Jesus was tempted in all points just like us. So you have to understand something. In order to deliver us, he had to deal with the same devil that you and I have to deal with. He had to keep the same body in subjection to his spirit, just like you and I are supposed to. Okay? Luke chapter 4. You know this story. Then Jesus, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. You see that? Amen. He was tempted, he was tested, he was tried 40 days by the devil, not by God, by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Listen to me. This tiger have not changed his stripes. I'm talking about the devil, Satan. He has not changed his stripes. He is still the same. He used the same old tricks on us that he tried to use on Jesus. Notice where he started first. He wants to question the deity of God. He wants to question God. Question God. He wants to, listen to me, he wants to make God look like a liar or look like he don't exist at all. Because if he can get you there, he got you everywhere else. You've heard me say this many times. Even in the Garden of Eden, one of the things he tried to get Eve to do was question God. And now he's trying the same old trick on Jesus. And he said, if you, notice that if you are the Son of God. Now he's not going to approach us quite that way. He would approach us this way. If you're really saved, If you really know God, if God is really real, then why don't you do this, that, or the other? You heard me say this, and I'm going to say it again. When the enemy attacks, he attacks you at your weakest point. The Bible says, and we just read it, Jesus was what? Hungry. Because he hadn't eaten in 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. And the devil offered him food, or not offered him food, told him to turn the stone into food, into bread. That's the reason I tell people, when you were in the world, let me say it this way. When you get saved, don't forget what your weaknesses were when you were in the world. You listening to me? When you were in the world, if you had a woman problem, you know, you couldn't get enough women, or if you were a female and you had men problems, you couldn't get enough men, the devil will use that against you after you get saved if you're not careful, because he knows what your weaknesses are. That's the reason you got to get worded up, stay prayed up. And let me say this. If you had a woman problem, I'm talking to the males, but it applies to the females as well. If you had a woman problem before you got saved, you need to be very careful how you conduct yourself around women after you get saved. Because your flesh will remember what it used to do. Because we have to understand, when we get saved, our bodies don't get saved. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. That's on the inside. That's on the inside. That's on the inside. We're born again on the inside. We're born again on the inside, and then we're told to renew our minds, to change the way we think, renew our minds. And we have to keep this body under subjection. We can't allow this body to do everything it wants to do. Can I get an amen out there somewhere? If we leave our bodies unrestricted, it will get us in a mess. Why? Because this body is of the earth, and it want to do earthly stuff that's not godly. You follow me? But see, we have to remember that greater is he that is in me. You can say it out there too. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And my physical body is in the world. It's on the earth. But the greater one lives on the inside of me. And I allow the greater one on the inside of me to take charge over the part of me that's in the earth. We can't allow our bodies to do what it wants to do. We can't do it. We must not allow that to happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, what verse did I stop at? All right. I stopped at verse 3. So where the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Now, you have to understand, Jesus was being tempted here. Amen. He was being tempted. Look at verse 4. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is what? written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Hallelujah. And that's what we have to do. When the devil come after us to tempt us, we must let him know what the word of God says and let him know, no, I'm not going, I'm not doing this. I'm not going that way anymore. The word of God says thus and such, and I'm staying with the word of God. Now get out of my face. Verse 5. But just don't think now just because you put him on the run one time, he's not coming back. Then the devil taking him up on a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Some people don't understand what the devil meant when he says it has been delivered to him, but it was delivered to him when Adam fell. Amen. When Adam fell, then it was delivered to him. And he's known as the God of this world, little g. Everybody say little g. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is it? Somewhere. I can look it up, but where it talks about the God, little g, of this world, blinding the eyes of those that would believe the word of God. So we have to understand that the devil's in charge of this world. And listen to this. He will offer you the world to get you to serve him. Amen. Whatever you crave, he'll offer it to you to get you to serve him. Saints of God, please, I'm begging now, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Amen. Verse 7. Therefore, if you... Oh, listen to what he says to the... Now, he's saying this to the Lord, okay? He's saying this to the Son of God. Therefore, if you will worship me, or worship before me, all will be yours. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't fall for that? Amen. See, we still need to stop sometime and think of how things could have been different. But Jesus was committed to his ministry of delivering you and me. He was committed to it. And the devil hadn't changed today, folks. He still wants to be worshiped. You hear me? He still wants to be worshiped. I got to move on. Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You see that? I say, you see that? We'll call to worship God and God only. Verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, now the devil took it up a notch. Okay, you're going to use the word of God against me. I'm going to use the word of God against you. Let me give you an example of that. You're talking to somebody about drinking alcohol and letting them know you need to let God deliver you from this alcohol. I'm just using that example. I've heard some of them say, well, you know, it ain't what goes in a man is what come out. Now they got that from the Bible. Well, they taking it and twisting it. And that's exactly what the devil did here. He says, okay, I'm going to take this up a notch. He's using the word on me. I'm going to try to use it back on him, which it wouldn't work. So he says, in other words, he's telling Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, and now he's going to try to use the word of God on him. He said, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. In other words, Jesus, if you jump off the pinnacle of this temple, hey, the angels got you, man. The angels got you. Go ahead and jump off. Look, can I help y'all with something? Y'all already know this. Had Jesus obeyed him and jumped off the pinnacle of the temple, he would have killed himself. He would have committed suicide. For number one, he would have been out of the will of God because he would have listened to the devil. He would have been out of the will of God. He would have killed himself. Verse 11, he's still talking. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now he's talking about going back to Psalm 91. He's trying. So don't ever fall for it when the devil try to quote scripture. It's in the Bible. He will try to quote scripture to you. That's where you need to know your source. Two more verses. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not do what? Tempt the Lord your God. Verse 13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him. King James Version say for a season. New King James says, until an opportune time. Let me tell you something. Always remember, stay on your toes. Stay on your toes all the time, because you'll have to keep defeating the devil, because he'll be looking for ways to come back at you. Amen. But you got to be careful that you don't become discouraged. Hallelujah. Let me move along real fast here now. So we understand that scripture reference where it says Satan is the god of this world is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But here's what we have to understand. Jesus, our high priest, did not sin. He was tempted, but he did not sin. And back over in Hebrews chapter 4, let's go there real quick as we get ready to wind this up. Verse 16, Hebrews 4:16. It says, verse 15. Let me read verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest which cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Everybody say, yet without sin. Yes. Come on, say it again. Yes. Glory to God. He didn't sin. He didn't fall. And because of this, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I'm here to tell you right now and everyone watching that we, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. God loves us. God loves us. He's on our side. Amen. Just kind of yell across the sanctuary and tell somebody, God's on your side. God's on your side. Y'all do that out there too. Tell them, God's on your side. God is on your side. God wants to help you. God wants to deliver you. Hallelujah. And not only that we may obtain mercy. God knows, folks, that we're not perfect. You hear me? God knows that we're not perfect. He understands our imperfections. But he will extend mercy to us. He will extend mercy to us if we won't quit, if we make a decision that I am not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm in this thing till the end. I'm going to trust God to the end. Regardless of what things look like, I'm going to trust God to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word not returning back to you void. Hallelujah. If you're watching us today and you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want to extend this invitation right now for you to accept Jesus Christ. Just ask him to come into your life. Come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. You're tired of the way you're living. You're tired of the things that you're doing. And you want to be set free. Just ask him to touch you right now. I'm going to pray for you also. Touch you and set you free. But first of all,